Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to atarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
You can almost feel the presence of God, tangible. Amen. And so sitting here tonight as they're singing and the people of God lifting up their voices, the Lord, he just dwells in a place like that. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Excited about this lesson here. Amen. If I were to say to you, sermon it's kind of like that old game show, okay? If I say sermon, you say, how about if I say, you know, they say I can do that in two notes or three notes, name that tune or whatever. I can do that in one word. If I say sermon on the mount, and most of us know the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's probably the... Well, it's an incredible three chapters of Scripture, starting with the Beatitudes, right? And then ending with two homes, two houses. There's the wise and the foolish. And so it's just all read, all the words of Jesus. And it's so powerful to read those scriptures. And so tonight, what I want to do is I'm going to read through not the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm going to read through what's called the Sermon on the Plain. Now, you might be thinking Sermon on a Plain, that's what happens when you fly and a preacher sits next to you. You get a sermon on the plain. No, this is actually what's referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, because the Sermon on the Mount was, they were on the mount. This is a sermon that Jesus gave that was on a plain, a flat level. It's not three chapters long. It's only not even one chapter. But there are some incredible things in it. And if you know the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of similarities in the teachings. And so if we listen to this and let Jesus speak to us tonight, that's what this is all about, is focusing on, there's so much that comes to us. I want to obey the teachings of Jesus, don't you? That's what I want to do. I want to obey the teachings of Jesus. And so let's start with one of his sermons. Before we do that, we'll pray and then we'll get right into it. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to assemble here today, Lord. God, I just pray that you would somehow, that you would touch the leaders of our world, Lord God, that they would turn towards you, Lord, in a spirit of repentance, that they would seek after you, Lord God. Pray that you would continue to watch over the church that you provide for us, O Lord. We're so thankful for your provision that you've given us. I pray that there would be anointing, revelation, and understanding that would go forth here tonight. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we go. This is in the book of Luke, and they've got it up there, right? Here we go. Luke chapter 6. And starting at verse 17. And he came down with them. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. There it is. Not a plane that you fly, but a flat area. He stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. There comes a point when it starts getting spread out, that people start to hear. People will come from great distances just to hear and to be healed, right? And so this is how revival happens, is somebody comes in. God does something miraculous. I remember after I got the Holy Ghost, I went to work, and I was telling this guy, I said, "Oh, man, I got the Holy Ghost last night." And I started telling other people, "I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost." And then all of a sudden, these people started coming to church, and they got the Holy Ghost. And it was just kind of spreading like wildfire, right? And so this happens here. And that's why we want to invite out and bring as many people as we can, because who knows what God is going to do in somebody's life. We might think it's a regular Wednesday night service, or it's just a Sunday service with Brother Jeff preaching. But guess what? You don't know that God may do the miraculous in somebody's life. And then they go out and they go, "Wow, I went to this church service." And then it starts to spread. Okay. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Wow. There wasn't a need that was too hard for him. Amen. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." It kind of sounds like the Beatitudes here a little bit, right? At the beginning of Matthew 5. "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep, for ye shall laugh." Sometimes when you're going through it, it's hard to remember. It's not always going to be dark. The sun is going to shine. There will be a new day. Amen. And so you've got to have hope in believing in that. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Oh, boy. I was at a dinner last night with up in Moses Lake, and it was a group of dentists, and I was there as the speaker for a financial deal, and we were having dinner, and one of them lost everything because he wouldn't take the COVID vaccine. And lost his job, he lost his benefits. Now, I'm not saying he was right, I'm not saying he was wrong, but his stance was that he wasn't going to take it. And he was ridiculed. "What are you dumb? You're going to give up your livelihood as a dentist? You know, don't you know how much dentists make?" Right? So there are people that will face ridicule over a vaccine. How much more, amen, should the church of the living God over the things of God, right? So yeah, they may make fun at us because we don't go to all the places they go, and we don't do all the things that they do, and we don't participate in all the things that they participate in. But that's all right, okay? "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Oof. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." There's in other verses it says your comfort. Right? There are those that trust in riches. There are those that trust in chariots. There are those that trust in horses, right? But what's the scripture say? But we remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Now this kind of falls into the deceitfulness of riches. The rich man, Jesus says, it's harder for a camel to go into the eye of a needle than a rich man to go into heaven, right? Now that seems really hard. And it is, because it's the deceitfulness of riches. I don't need God. I've got everything. But I knew a man. He ordered a brand new Ferrari from Italy. Came in a crate. Dropped it off at his house. Okay, lived over in Canyon Lakes. Opened it up. Beautiful. Paid cash for it or wrote a check for it. Okay. You know what he told me? A year or so later. Jeff, there's got to be more to life than this. Right? Even the rich man gets to a point of heaping pleasures upon your flesh does not satisfy this longing that's inside. Okay? But most of the time, rich people can be deceived. It's the deceitfulness of riches. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen inside the church. I got to be careful about this. But let me say, just because financial windfalls come my way doesn't mean that I'm 100% right with the Lord. You can't allow the deceitfulness of riches to deceive you. Okay? So it can go both ways. Now, I'm not telling on myself or anything like that, but I'm trying to let you understand how that affects. Now, the disciples, they said, who then can be saved? If it's harder for a rich man to enter through into heaven than a camel through, how do you put it? It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. They go, well, who then can be saved? Right? Because what's your standard of rich? Right? I mean, I'm richer than Easton. Jack's richer than me. Right? Brian's richer than Jack. I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out. But so what's your standard? So who then can be saved? You know, I love the answer Jesus says. He says this, with man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Even the rich man, God can save him. Amen. All right, I got to get going. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. These are some real direct commandments of the Lord, right? I mean, these are the commandments of the Lord. These are declarations that he's making. And so these types of things, you've got to be able to submit in prayer. God, help me. Help me to be kind to this man when he's not kind to me. You have to pray like that, right? And sometimes you even got to get to a point where you fast and you're really broken. And then you can really say, God, don't let me have animosity towards that person. And you can get people like that, right, that you work with. And I had a coworker once, and she asked if Lulu could come over and babysit. And she says, "I want you to know, though, I'm in the occult." And every year at Halloween, she'd dress up as a vampire, and she would say, "That's because I'm a witch the rest of the year." But she wasn't kidding. She really was a practicing occult witch. And one time she came in and she started asking me about, well, what about the person that never hears the gospel? And so I just started talking with her really nice and kindly. And really, I felt the Lord, and I believe she was sincere. But later on, somehow, it got to the point where I became the target of her. And I tried everything in my power to be kind and all of this. And do you know that God eventually just moved her on? And I didn't have to deal with that any longer. And so, anyway, there are times, and I had to pray so hard in those situations, right? Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. It seemed like everybody that I was hiring, at the time my job was hiring financial service representatives for this company, and then her job was to help train them. So everybody that I was sending over there, she was telling me that they were terrible people, and anyway, so it's like, oh boy, and it turned out to be a deeper than that. But the Lord, he is the one that took vengeance and moved her out. And I didn't have to get ugly or anything like that, right? And God took care of it all. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Got the next one. 29, there we go. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. These, when you read them, you think, okay, how do we really do this, right? And so these are things that I think really require some soul searching on what is it that I really put value upon. Is it my possessions? Is that how I value myself? Is what my possessions are? What's the real value in my life, right? So it's a coat. It's a coat. I was looking for a suit the other day in my closet. I couldn't find it. I'm like, somehow I must have lost a suit. I mean, I don't know how you lose a suit, but I lost a suit. So I went down to the cleaning place where I get my clothes clean. Nope, nothing there. And I'm like, somebody must have needed a suit or something. I don't know what happened. But anyway, you know, it's a suit. You can always get another suit. Amen. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Now, I was telling this to Easton the other day. You don't have to answer people who are trying to gender strife by asking foolish and unlearned questions, right? So if you're in a situation where somebody's trying to hard time you at school and they're, oh, why you do this, and they're just trying to start up an argument, you don't have to cast your pearls before swines in those situations, okay? But give to every man that asketh of thee. So there's going to come times when people are really going to be sincere and they're going to want to know what is it about you? And that's when you need to give the answer. This is talking about something a little bit different. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. So this kind of goes beyond. We know that we are to take care of our own, especially those of our own house, right? Well, does that mean those that are not in our house, right? That they're our own? Brothers and sisters in the Lord that don't live under my roof? Or maybe take care of all those in this house, the house of God? And so I really believe that charity starts in the house of God, in taking care of one another. I mean, that's how Stephen got called, was that the Grecians felt like that their widows were being neglected. And so they said, go out and find seven men, because we can't start, we shouldn't be serving tables and taking care of the food. We have to preach the gospel. So go find seven men. And so it really fell upon the church to take care of their own. And I want you to know that if you feel like God is leading you to bless a brother or sister in the church, if you want to give it to them directly, that is great. If you want to give it to them discreetly, that is great. And you will get such a blessing by doing something like that. And you're thinking, well, I'm not going to get a tax write-off. Well, don't worry about a tax write-off. God will give you such a greater deal, right? So anyway, this is, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How do we love? Well, we take care of one another. We see need, we take care of it. Okay. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. There you go, the golden rule. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Boy. Brother Cliff, I love you, man. Right? So that's how it's got to be. And we've got to learn to love. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Have you ever done something nice for somebody that didn't deserve it? Or didn't even ask for it, but you did it for them anyway? And sometimes that's really hard to do. And I've got this one neighbor that I've had some issues with. And I haven't had any issues with him lately. And so I'm very grateful that God has seemed to take care of this. But we had some real issues at one point, and all kinds of little things that were happening. And I saw that he had planted a tree next to our property line. I didn't think about property lines, but he did. You know, he's one of these property line guys. And then I noticed that he had carved a little canal with like his hand from one of my sprinklers over to his thing to get water. And so he happened to be down there, and I don't really have he's real hard to have a relationship with, and he happened to be down there, so it had to have been God, because my flesh didn't want to do this. I thought, I am going to go down there, and I'm going to offer him something, and just because he's always mad at me in this. So I had to get out. I got down. I ran down there. I yelled out, Mr. Such and Such. I don't want to say his last name because he might be your grandpa. And so I yelled out his name. He stopped, and I walked over to him. I said, "Hey, that tree you got right there, if you want, I can have the irrigation guy run from my sprinkler line, and I'll just put a drip line in there. We'll run it under the ground, and then you can have a drip line." "Oh, no, we don't need to do that." I was like, "Okay, sorry." But maybe that's why he hasn't been giving me issues, is because I offered to do that for him. Now this is a guy that I'm not going to say it, but anyway, we've had some issues, missing some animals and things like that. So anyway, but I don't want to say that he did that because I don't know, right? But my wife and kids definitely think that he did that. Okay. All right. Keeps you praying. I think I read that one. Let's go to the next one. "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive." Oh, boy. If you give money to somebody, don't keep note of it. Right? Just let it go. And you watch what God will do. Now, if it's your kids, that's a different story. Are you coming to me again? No, that's not how you treat your kids. But anyway, out of the blue, I had this lady. She doesn't go to church or nothing like that. I know her from activities of the kids over the years. And all of a sudden, I get this text, and it says, I see this woman once or twice a year at different activities. And it says, "Hi, Jeff. I've got an important question to ask you. Can I ask you?" "Sure. What's that?" "Really in a financial bind. Can I borrow some money?" I said, "How much you need?" She goes, "I need this much." I said, "Sure, you got a Venmo account?" "Serious?" Yeah. "Send it over to me." She goes, I'll pay you back in 2 weeks. "Don't worry about paying me back. Don't worry about it." "Serious?" Yeah, don't worry about it. So I sent the money. And then about 30 minutes later, "Can I actually get a little more?" I said, "You know what? Why don't you, I'm getting ready to go to bed, why don't you and your family come to church tomorrow and I'll help you out?" And she never responded back. So, anyway, that's all right though, right? Amen. She knows where to go when she really needs help, right? So, but when they came back the second time, here's the thing. People are like accounts. Before you can make a withdrawal from an account, you got to make deposits. So if people come to me and they want money, sure, I'll help them out. But now I've got a little bit of a right to take out a deposit. Because I've made a deposit into their life. Without making that deposit, I don't have a right to take out a withdrawal. So when she came back at me, "Well, now's the time to take out a withdrawal. Why don't you come to church with me and we can help you out?" Right? Okay. "And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." Amen. I tell you what, God, He will take care of you. You minister to other individuals, and as you're ministering to them, God is ministering to you. And that is just sound Bible doctrine, right? It really is. And that is a principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Now we think of that as money, but no, you give. You give in love, you give in kindness, and it's going to come back to you in that same way. Amen. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Whew, man. How awesome is that? And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He doesn't withhold the sun from the evil man. He doesn't withhold his rain from the evil man. We're the same way. This is the only way they're going to see Jesus is through you and I. That's why they come, because, boy, there's something different about that Jack guy. I've never met a motorcycle rider as nice as him. Right? In high school, they say, wow, you know what? That Devin, he's the only guy on the team that doesn't chew Copenhagen. There's probably a couple other. But most baseball players are chewing. He's the only guy on the team that's not cussing. Right? Anyway, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Hey, has God been patient with you? Then we got to learn to be patient with people. That's how it is, right? Boy, God's been patient with me. I've got to learn to be patient with people. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. These aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. Condemn not. You know, I've learned so much over the years of preaching and ministering, right? And anyway, I'm not going to go into all of it, but I've learned so much. Okay, condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Forgive. Amen. Have you forgiven me? I hope so. I know you have. Amen. And I've forgiven you too. Even when you don't deserve it, I still forgive you. It's the truth, right? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you and give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give of your hospitality. Give of your kindness. Give of your time. Not just your money, but give of yourself. And it will come back to you. We've got people who've been living for God for a long time. Sister Sarah, Brother Jack, Brother Mark, Brother Kelly, that can testify of these biblical concepts. They're living proof to it. Sister Kathleen, you've been living for God your whole life. Most of it. How old were you when you got the Holy Ghost? 12. There you go. She's been living for God her whole life. I mean, amazing. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? No, those are called politicians, right? Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? We got to pray for our elected leaders. Boy, I tell you what. I heard today that we just gave, what was it, Iran, how much? $10 billion. But don't worry, they have to use it for humanitarian purposes. All right, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is, okay, we'll just go to the next one. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Yeah, I got to thank Sister Denise for this one, because I was a brand new convert and I was getting ready to light them up on a youth night when I was preaching, and I made some comment, and as she walked by, she said, "The self-righteous preacher." I didn't even know what that meant. I had to look it up. Thank you, Sister Denise, for correcting a young brother at the time, right? I kind of thought it was my job to set everybody straight and make sure everybody was toeing the line. Pretty funny stuff. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, "Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye," when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Okay, we're almost done here. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. I had this one guy that was working for me, with me, and he claimed to be a Christian, and he was a really nice guy, and I really liked him, but boy, you get in a small group, and the words he would start saying, I mean, just shocking. He had no shame at all. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, he's never been born again like I have. And so he needed the Lord. He needed the Holy Ghost. But people can tell by your fruit. And so when you have that testimony, man, I've known Easton for 5 years. I've never heard him cuss once, right? They know there's something different. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For, let's see there. I kind of get in trouble sometimes with this. And you got to be careful, because sometimes with family members, you do a little bit of joking around, and then I'll say, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? And so you got to be mindful what you say, even when you're kidding around with family members. Abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I want to do the things that Jesus said, right? So I want to focus in on these letters in red. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them not, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's who I want to be. I want my life. The storms of life are going to come regardless. And guess what? If your life is built on God, you're going to withstand. And that's how you win people over. Because they see the stability that's in your life, and they want what you have, stability, because the world is unstable. And when you got children that go off in different directions, they're going to find out quickly that there's no stability in the world, but they see that mom and dad have stability. Brings them back. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. Is that it? That's it. So do you see the similarities? So it's kind of like the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. So if you're ever feeling like you need to get in and get the Sermon on the Mount, but you don't have the time to read all three chapters, jump into Luke chapter 6 and start there, verse 16 or 17, and you just got a few verses, and you kind of get the whole Sermon on the Mount just in a little smaller sample. It's not a super gulp, it's a small gulp, right? A Dixie-sized cup of Sermon on the Mount. Praise God. Amen. That's the challenge, is that God has put before us, is that we would manifest His love to the world. Amen. That's what it's going to take. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. If you stand, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Colton if he would pray and dismiss us in prayer.